My name is Paul, and I'm a believer who struggles to appreciate and accept all the grace that God has given me. I'd like to pray for us. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts be acceptable in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. I'd like to add my own welcome to the welcomes you've had so far, and I want to welcome you to Divorce Care and say that we're glad you are here while we're sorry that you have to be here. We know that divorce is never plan A for any of us, but here we are. And this is a great place to process what you're going through. Okay, if I tell you a story about what someone else has done in their life, that's a biography. If I tell you a story about what I've done in my life, that's an autobiography. If I tell you a story about what God has done in my life, this is a testimony. This is my testimony. I grew up in a family that was very active in our local Methodist church. My parents had been married for 64 years when my mom died this spring. I was president of the Methodist Youth Fellowship. I was president of the Fellowship of Christian Athletes at my high school. And my picture was even on the cover of one of the Methodist curriculum materials that came out for the children's ministry in 1963. Anyway, we were a church-going family, but after going off to college, I fell away from the faith quickly. I bought into the lie that science could supply the answers that faith could not. I remember regarding Christians as weak-minded hypocrites who weren't able to make it through life without the crutch that religion could be, and they didn't live like they claimed to believe anyway. I got married after college and can remember the minister who was to perform the ceremony trying to tell my fiancé and I about the Christian idea of marriage, but we were just wanting him to hurry up so we could get on with things. I was married for 22 years, went to church very seldom, except when I went back home, then we went to church. I have two daughters who are both now in their 30s. In my marriage, I did not feel like my wife was affirming me in the way that I thought she should, so I sought that affirmation outside of the marriage. I think that saying it that way sounds better than saying that I had a series of affairs with a number of other women, don't you? In 1996, I reconnected with a woman whom I dated in college, and we decided that we should divorce our spouses and marry each other. Betsy and I married in 1997 without God in our lives for the most part. Our marriage went well, but there were a number of issues with our children, including battles over custody, visitation issues. And in these, we were said to be poor influences on her children because we didn't attend church. So, in about 2000, we decided that we needed to look for a church, not because we wanted to find God, but so we could look better in the eyes of the court. After visiting a number of churches that did not seem to be a good fit, we stumbled upon, then started attending Watermark in the early days when there was one service at Lake Highlands High School. We were drawn in first by the casual dress, the up-tempo music, which we liked, but then after a while, Todd's messages, especially his statement, which he repeated a couple of weeks ago on Sunday, that we could ask any question we wanted to, because if the Bible is what it claims to be, then no amount of scrutiny can affect it. That made me rethink my impression that Christians were weak-minded. Then we got into a community group with people who were faithfully living their lives the way the Bible said they should, and that kind of blew my impression that all Christians were hypocrites. So, to review, in 2001, I'd walked away from God. I was an adulterer. I had divorced and remarried outside the church, and I was trying to use church attendance to help us gain the favor of a judge. Now, isn't that just the kind of person that God would want to be among his people? If you told me back then that today I would be fully devoted to following Christ, that I'd be reading my Bible daily, going to Bible studies, memorizing scriptures, leading groups, giving testimonies, I would have called you crazy. I don't know why God had to take me through the process of divorce, the disruption of so many lives, the heartache I caused so many people to bring me to him. That's what he did. I'm so blessed and so thankful that God has called me to himself and that he got me to a place like Watermark and that he has allowed me to be able to testify to his goodness, his grace, and his love. 16 years later, Betsy and I have a blended family with her 3 children, my 2 daughters, 3 sons-in-law, and 4 grandchildren. Many blessings. Turns out that being a believer does not exempt you from trials and heartaches, though it does give you a peace that surpasses understanding. Divorce stinks. Tell people who are going through divorce or thinking about it or early in the process that however hard they think it will be, it's going to be harder than that. The grief that you're feeling is real. If your marriage mattered to you, you must grieve the loss of the marriage. I saw a study that showed that it can take several months to a couple of years for the grieving process to run its course. That is, for the disbelief, the anger, the loneliness, the depression to go down, and the acceptance to come up. You can't shortcut the process. You have to allow yourself to grieve, but you won't always feel the way that you feel today. My experience has been that divorce care helps people understand what they're going through, that they're not alone in their feelings, and that God is present with them in the process. I hope that it won't take you as long as it did me to figure out that the most important thing in life and in recovery from divorce is our relationship with Christ. He wants to have a relationship with us, sinful though we may be. Romans 5:8 says, "But God demonstrates his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us." There are lots of opinions about divorce, and you'll have lots of people telling you to get on with your life. But I am urging you to seek him and to find your peace and healing by going to him. Looking back, I think that in high school, I had the church going. I had the religion, but I did not have the relationship with Christ that is now so important to me. 1 Thessalonians 5:16 through 18 says, "Be joyful always, pray continually, and give thanks in all circumstances, for this is God's will for you in Christ Jesus." Understand that the joy and the thankfulness may be hard to come by at a time like this, but God will hear your prayers. I found that going to God in prayer is so helpful in whatever process I'm involved in. And not just talking to him, but also listening for him to speak to me. Prayer is conversation with God. We can bring all our problems to him. He knows what we need before we ask him for anything. But remember that he speaks to us not only during our prayer time, but also through his word, so that time spent reading the Bible, meditating on his word, and studying his word are also part of our prayer life. For example, if you hear a voice telling you that you should do bodily harm to your ex-spouse, that would not be the voice of God, since it would contradict what he says in his word. Luke 6:27-28, Jesus says, "But I tell you who hear me, love your enemies, do good things to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who mistreat you." Even though what God says to us from his word may not feel like what we want to know or what we want to hear, he has our best interests at heart and knows what's best for us. John 14:16 reminds us that Jesus answered, "I am the way and the truth and the life. No one comes to the Father except through me." I've learned a lot in years of leading divorce care groups, and I urge you all to hang in there and keep coming for the rest of the semester. For me, the most important thing that's helped me get through my divorce has been my relationship with Jesus Christ. I'm so thankful for Ephesians 2, 8, and 9. For it is by grace that you have been saved through faith. And this, not of yourself, but as a gift of God, and not by works, so that no one may boast. I know that God is good and that God is in control. Betsy and I love seeing people that have been in one of our groups coming to church, following Christ, serving in ministries, and even being on the cover of Watermark News, as Donna was this past week. If God can redeem my situation, He can surely redeem yours. Remember, 2 Corinthians 5:17, therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old is gone, the new has come. Our Father, thank you for these people that you have brought here tonight. Lord, we pray for you to soften our hearts. Lord, we pray for you to soften the hearts of our ex-spouses. Lord, we pray for our children who did not ask to be in the mess that they are in now. And we pray that you would help us remember to look after them in all that we go through. Thank you for your grace. Thank you for your peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Thank you.